The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, hour two. The National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller. Michael Herzog is in studio with us for the second hour. And there was something else that was pointed out about Vegas. What was that, Mike?
Something else? There's been so many things, I wouldn't know which way to go. What?
Tattoo.
Oh, yes. Stephen Paddock. It was pointed out that Stephen Paddock actually had a tattoo on his neck. And it was the number 13. Now, what's interesting about that is that in the picture where he's depicted holding a drink, I believe his girlfriend was with him in that picture, you can clearly see that tattoo of a number 13. However, when you pull up the alleged photo of his demise, where he was supposedly in the 32nd floor in his room where he had...
After he committed suicide,
there was no such tattoo on his neck. Now, there's another video clip, two actually, maybe three that I ran across today, that there are people now saying or alleging that they saw him 5 days later in Atlantic City. That's hard to believe because if he's got a handler, they wouldn't let him do that.
No.
But the point is that the alleged corpse of this gentleman in the 32nd floor did not have the tattoo of or that he had on his neck when he was alive. How do you explain that, John?
Well,
you don't.
You don't. You don't.
No.
You
it's,
don't.
It's
and,
more.
And,
go ahead.
And the point I wanted to make last hour when we were talking about this, folks, they don't care how sloppy the false flags are, how many holes there are in the story, in the narrative. They don't care. Because who goes in, scoops up all the information?
FBI.
By the way, who's the new head of the FBI?
Oh, that's Christopher Wray, W-R-A-Y.
And where Mr. Wray was sworn in back in August?
He was sworn in back in August. His slight tenure, he was a deputy prosecutor, I believe, or deputy with the DOJ, from 2003 to 2005, appointed by George W. Bush. And he left there in 2005, went to work for a law firm since 2005, all the way up to the time he was appointed as the FBI director. And what's interesting about this is this man has no law enforcement background at all. Zilch. None.
He's a lawyer.
Now, what's up with that, John?
Well, I mean, and I was going to say, you know, he was sworn in back in August. Here we go through the month of September, halfway through October. Has anybody seen this guy in a press conference? Has anybody?
He had one press conference that I pulled up online that I saw regarding this shooting, and all he said was it was a terrible tragedy. And the FBI, people that know the FBI know that we get to the bottom of things. That's all he said. No, people that know the FBI, like we know the FBI, know that, yes, they do get to the bottom of things, and then they cover it up so nobody else gets to the bottom of it.
and maybe this is intentional. Now, it's been said that if you're one of the Illuminists or evildoers or whatever, you know, there's numerology and symbology and all that stuff that we get to do. Okay, so they don't really care with making an airtight, it's-in-your-face kind of thing.
They don't care that it's an airtight in your case kind of thing, because part of it is to continue to stir the pot. And they know the more disinformation or misinformation that comes out, the more confused people get, the more they dig, the more frustrated that they get, and it just continues. So they continue. They enjoy. I believe they enjoy adding to it.
Okay.
So you know, this perpetuates itself, and the FBI is, well, going back to square one. Why on earth would they appoint an FBI director that doesn't have any experience in law enforcement at all? Why?
We got the biggest mass shooting that's ever happened in the United States.
And this guy, it's like he doesn't have a clue what to do.
Now, let me just speculate. Let me go out on that conspiracy limb. Maybe he's huddled down with the Department of Justice guy.
Sessions.
Mr. Jeff Sessions. Maybe they're huddling right now to go and open up an investigation, bring the indictments, get the Hillary and the Billary in there, and let's go after the Clinton Foundation. Because you and I were talking earlier today, whoever is going to make a boatload of cash out of this, out of the Vegas deal, whoever's going to profit out of this, is it not going to be the same gang of criminals that have come and gone with the Clintons, with their pay-to-play scenario, her being head of Secretary of State, and all of this? If we dove, God, if we got into Hillary and Bill Clinton, we could at least go back to Mena, Arkansas on these two. We could at least start there. And then all the crime and the corruptions and all of the stuff that they've done, which would include probably half of Washington, D.C., probably half the Congress critters, senators and congressmen included, banks, you name it. If we start digging in that cesspool, looking for the cork to pull to drain that swamp, I think that would be a good start. But we've not heard boo out of this, out of Jeff Sessions. I'm beginning to think Ray is just a stand-in. There's really no head of the FBI anymore.
He's an empty suit. He's not doing anything. And this guy that they did appoint, and for anybody that watches these videos, this guy is standing behind the sheriff or whoever the spokesperson happens to be at the time, anytime they have a press conference, and he's looking over them like a buzzard. And I think I mentioned this one reporter asked the simple question of, you know, the discrepancy about when Paddock checked in. And the sheriff just came unglued. He turned, we don't operate that way. You can't ask that question. We have, what did he call it? Oh, a decorum that we follow here. We'll address that, but you can't answer that question. So, you know, and the whole time this FBI, you know, goon is standing behind him, you know, just throwing knives with his eyes.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, in a way, John, even the sheriff looks a bit terrified. He's terrified from the guy standing behind him, and he's also terrified of the questions that are being asked, because he doesn't want. I mean, this guy, if you think about it, he's in the hot seat. He's trying to look legitimate and credible when he knows he's lying through his teeth. Okay, what kind of emotions would be going through you if you were in that position? Well, not you, but somebody. No.
Well, no, I'm thinking about this. If I'm caught between a rock and a hard place and I'm doing an investigation and I see hole after hole like Swiss cheese.
And you've got to cover it up.
I wouldn't. I would make a public statement. I would either start to spill the beans saying that these lying-ass feds are in here trying to steal everything and cover everything up, run the risk of the wrath of the federal government because I am a peace officer, duly elected, constitutionally, here I am, and this is my statement. Or I just tuck my tail between my legs, say that the powers that I'm up against are too big and too bad, and I've got to play along, otherwise, what? I don't know. Maybe the county sheriff out there has been involved in pedophilia. Maybe he's got some bad gambling debts. Maybe this whole thing that Paddock was involved in was nothing but a money laundering operation. Maybe that's all that it was. Because, look, they even floated the story out there. Well, He made his millions off of
video poker.
Video poker.
Are you kidding me?
And I don't give a damn if it pays out 92 or 98%, whatever.
It's impossible.
You don't become a millionaire playing the one-armed bandits. And I don't give a damn what era they were made in or what their payout schedule is. But we're not red. We're in the orange zone. What does that mean? Sort of out? Okay, so Vonage is telling you they're working on it? They're not. They didn't tell you they were working on it. Michael?
Yes.
You don't think that they'd cut all the incoming?
I just asked.
Outgoing calls were not.
When the
system goes down,
mm-hmm.
you can't take incoming calls, but
right.
you also can't make outgoing calls.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who would have the power in this country?
Well, I do know that all of the telephone companies are overseen by, and not necessarily regulated by, but the intelligence agencies have a backdoor into the telephone companies, and the intelligence agencies can make a telephone call to a top director in the telephone company and say, hey, do this, don't do that, and they goose-step to whatever he says.
Oh, no, that was a long time we learned about that. They had a back door that they could walk into. I'm sure they just got a little button they can flip now.
Probably so. But what really intrigues me, John, and I posed this question to you during the break, is that Michael Rivero was taking callers throughout the show. We touched a nerve here because this is on everybody's mind. This whole L.A. shooting is on everybody's mind. The Federal Reserve is on people's mind to a much lesser degree.
Much less.
But you're bringing it to the forefront, and somebody may have, I'm not saying they did, I'm saying somebody may have said, whoa, wait a minute, we don't need this going out. Because again, what we're looking at here with L.A., or not L.A., but Las Vegas, and even, you know, the tragedy of the people dying, it has become a diversion from even more serious issues, which is the Federal Reserve. You mentioned North Korea.
Oh, well, yes, and if you listen to the people banging the drums of war right now, we're right down to it's imminent. We're going to go to war with North Korea.
And this is the guy, Donald Trump, is the guy that's, these are unnecessary wars. We don't need these wars. We're going to be, what happened, John?
Well, it seems that our trading partners like China and Russia are pretty much telling Kim Jong Fat Face Ung, or Un, whatever his name is, that, you know what, yeah, there's sanctions on you right now, but we're telling you that we're not going to be doing any business with you if you don't knock off the funny business. There are ways. And Korea, North Korea, folks, I mean, the UN operation, the first one that we saw in full force and in full control was the Korean War, okay? So here, North Korea has pretty much been put in check. They don't have a lot of money. Any money that they do have, they'd much rather build some piece of war equipment than feed their own people. But there's still no threat. Here's what people are not thinking about. And this is why I mentioned it last hour. You know, you said, I've got a neighbor that's got all these nuclear weapons, and he's threatening to blow me up. Well, I'm going to go steal one of his nuclear weapons and go ahead. I don't give a damn you got 400 nuclear weapons. Launch them against me. I'm in close proximity to you. It's only going to take one. North Korea is going to build a missile system to attack the United States.
Well, that on its face, in my mind, is ludicrous.
It's more than ludicrous. It's a freaking fantasy. It's a fantasy cooked up in some neocon's head talking to the big fat contract holders that are building all the nice little war machines we're going to need.
If I remember correctly, North Korea does not have a central banking system over there. They do have a lot of minerals, and they do have some serious technological contracts with China. But as far as dealing in their in the FRN funny money system, they don't use us, they don't need us, they don't buy our oil, they don't do anything with
us. Now, they're very good propagandists. Every man, woman, and child, and for generations, have been told in North Korea that the United States is the enemy. They're going to do to us exactly what they did to Germany. They're going to destroy Germany, and then they're going to occupy. Mike, let me ask you a question. Do we still have troops in Germany?
Yes.
Why?
That's a good question.
There you go. Why is water wet?
I don't know. Why do we have troops in 133 countries around the world? You know, why? We have to continue to leave them there. And by the way, 137, don't quote me on that because I'm not exactly sure of the number, but how many billions of dollars a year is being spent just to have these guys over there and feed them and clothe them and make sure their weapons are stocked and, you know, all of this stuff?
This is the point that Ron Paul made, and this is what I picked up on. He and I had a conversation in front of two other reporters. They had heard enough. They just walked away. Because they were saying when Ron Paul was running, oh, well, he's going to gut the military. He's going to make us unsafe. He's going to make us this, that, and the other. No, this is what he simply said. He says, shut down all the damn bases you have overseas. Bring that home. You'll have plenty of money to modernize whatever the hell you want to. That was the part that they didn't report. And it made sense.
Well, I'll tell you what. Back in the mid-90s all the way up to 2000, I made about a half a dozen trips over to the Philippines. And I had a business venture going on over there. And they had, Americans have a base, or they still do, I believe, Clark Air Force Base over in the Philippines. It's about, I don't know, 70 miles from Manila. I can't remember what town it's in. But I think they're still there. And I looked at this massive base with all these jets and, you know, cargo planes and military and all that stuff. And I'm thinking, what are we doing there? What is our purpose? Are we protecting them? I mean, obviously we're not protecting Duterte now because the CIA was running drugs out and he cracked down the hammer talking about getting rid of all the drug running going on. And conveniently, ISIS shortly thereafter attacked Mindanao. So I don't get it. I don't understand why all these bases are scattered all over the world, all over the globe, to the tune of, I don't know, you know, the defense. And I use the term loosely. They should be calling it the offense budget.
Or the offensive budget.
The offensive, yes, the offensive. The severely offensive budget. They call it the defense budget. You know, like they're protecting us, which they're not protecting us. But ultimately, the defense budget is upwards of, I believe, around $600 billion? Or it's even more than that now.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it's about a quarter of the entire budget, which is $4 trillion. So it's upward. It's close to $1 trillion.
Okay, but understand that Donald Trump said he wanted to modernize the military. Okay, so we're pissing away all this money overseas. Do you know what the payroll is for all these guys that are at all these bases? Forget the supply and forget.
I'm not even going to kick in with the mercenaries. Go ahead.
Oh, well, that's another one. They pay them four times better than they pay anybody else.
They pay them $100,000 a year or better.
Okay, now, Donald Trump wanted to modernize the military. Okay. How are you going to do that? Well, we're going to borrow more money. We're going to put the country deeper in debt that we can't get out of right now because we need to look presidential. We need to look like we're in authority and in charge of the world.
Who made us the policeman?
Why is water wet?
There are things that we don't know.
And then there's things that we do know. And then there are the unknowns, and then there's the unknowns that are known.
There are things that we don't know that we don't know. Well, and that's one of them.
And that's one of them. I still don't know what the hell Donald Rumsfeld really is. Is he real?
Well, but aspartame is good for you, John.
Oh, hey, maybe he was the test dummy. Maybe that's why they gave him.
I don't know. It's beyond me. You look at this, the overall picture of what's going on, and you wonder. You have to scratch your head and ask. You know, at what point is it a disease? Is it there a point in time where cognitively they lose their minds, or are they all being commanded by? A brain-sucking amoeba? What?
Okay, here's an update to the 13. There's a post on Rents.com with a photo of Paddock's neck, which did look like a 13, but it was suggested that maybe it's just his turkey neck, the loose skin of a 64-year-old. And this was apparently sent by Fetzer, James Fetzer.
Okay. So are you saying that the 13, which to me was clearly... depicted. I mean, it didn't look like a professionally done tattoo. It looked like, you know, he was in prison and somebody put it on there or something. I don't know. But anyway, it definitely looked like a 13. Are you saying it's overlaying skin?
I didn't say that.
No. I mean, is Fetzer saying that?
Evidently. Paddock. Let's go to the Paddock HTML.
All right.
And
music's coming up.
I'll cover this during the break. And it could be.
Maybe I should get Fetzer on the phone.
You were sleeping. took it all away.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point. It has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with voracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month, and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
There is a house.
Well, I can tell you where the phones are working.
Where?
In a dysfunctional state that's not working, a half burnt down, California. Oh. Joe in California. Hello, Joe.
Hey, howdy.
How the hell did you get through?
I don't know. The commercial was on, and I just took a chance, and it went through.
Well, 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 it looks like the phone calls are starting to come through. Joe, what's on your mind?
Well, I heard you talking about the Federal Reserve being private, and I heard the IRS was private, and that's where our money's going. Is that right?
The IRS is private?
That's what I heard.
I don't know for sure, but I've read that it's incorporated in Puerto Rico. It wouldn't surprise me if it was private. I know that it is a collection agency for the Federal Reserve, Joe. So
I think it is private. I just wondered if you knew or not.
Well, Joe, I can tell you this, that it was put in place by the very same people that schemed for the Federal Reserve. And it has been my argument, which pretty much has been proven correct, that the bankers needed surety. So they suggested that we do a national income tax, and that would be the surety payment for the bankers for all the credit money they were going to be loaning out.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah.
Hey, there's one interesting fact about the Vegas shooting that I thought was interesting, and that's that from the Mandalay Bay, it's almost as close to the corporate private flight at McCarran Airport as it is a line of sight to the concerts.
The
airport is right on the same street, Mandalay Bay Road.
Yeah, it is. And the closest thing from that airport, from what I could see, was actually the fuel storage tanks, because they have a tendency to kind of put those off in the perimeter of an airport just in case a plane can't get off and can't land, or something goes awry and they lose control.
It took the SWAT an hour to respond. Those guys were probably on a plane out of Dodge before their brass cooled off.
You can't do that, Mike. Can't do that.
Can't do what?
Can't play anything like that.
No. It went on automatically. I just cut it off.
You got gremlins?
I don't know.
Joe, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Folks, try go making a loan in a bank, and you got to prove that you don't need the loan to get the loan. They want surety. The very same people that did the Federal Reserve are the same people that drafted the IRS stuff. And
the
you know what?
Amendment, the 16th Amendment, they say, well, you know, it's the Bruce Shaver decision that gives us the authority to tax your income. And that's, if you read the decision, it says the exact opposite of what the Internal Revenue Service says that it says.
Well, and, you know, we didn't run massive debt because they hadn't fully installed the credit system yet. So we didn't have massive deficits coming out of the funny money system for many, many years after the creation of the Federal
Reserve. It was about World War II. And interestingly enough, there was a very, 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 very small minority of people, even after they passed the 16th Amendment, that actually paid any tax. And it was very slight, very low, up until World War II, the breakout of World War II, which they had the victory tax. They implemented the victory tax. And everybody was rah-rah on the top of that, saying, oh, yeah, that's great for the war effort. And they would send these statements out to everybody, and everybody would gladly pay their 1% or 2%.
Yeah.
And after the war was over, they thought, well, wait a minute. Let's just keep doing it. And they did. And the people kept paying. And that's
right.
When they started jacking it up.
Jacking it up. Man, you got to create a whole new strata of thought for jacking up on this one. Mark and John, we'll get to your calls here. Looks like the phones are working. 800-313-9443. Hallelujah. Must come down.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over two with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons. What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt.
Thank you for this, Steve Elkins. The CFTIG research paper, the Internal Revenue Service, a private corporation. This is from September 2006. A close review of 31 U.S.C. disclosed that the Internal Revenue Service, a private corporation, is not shown as a division, bureau, or any part of the U.S. Treasury Department. All this can be looked up at any time on FirstGov. I would assume that's FirstGov.gov. I don't know. 31 U.S.C. Chapter 3 does not list the IRS as an agency or part of the Treasury Department. There you go. The surety people.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Long-range plans. We don't need it now, but we need to lay the groundwork because we know.
So the government's just a partner with them and allows them to employ these people?
Because when we get off the gold standard and the silver standard and we truly turn to the fiat paper-flying organization, we know that we're really going to need that surety to be paid back.
Mm-hmm. With labor, lots of it.
We got loaded phone lines.
And through, no, I mean, this seems to be kind of a freak accident. We were just joshing about the government cutting off the incoming phone calls while leaving the outgoing alone. Here we go. Last half hour of the program, we're going to be whammed and jammed. Mark in Georgia. Hello, Mark.
Hi there.
Hi.
You doing okay, sir? I understand your challenges. So I guess I'll cut to the chase. I don't know if you're familiar with John Oliver, what's his name, Oliver, last week, tonight. I don't know if you've seen the episode on, I think it was the 30th of July, where he absolutely ripped into arrogant jerk, AJ, you know who I'm talking about, and he absolutely tore him up one side and down the
other.
Yeah,
I saw it.
Yeah, I guess you would have to be very careful about playing any clips from that because...
Why?
Well, he uses some colorful idioms may not be suitable for broadcast.
But right? It's suitable for the children that watch the Comedy Channel.
Well, I think that's HBO, actually.
Really?
But, yeah, it's HBO. I'm pretty sure it's HBO, but it is on YouTube as well.
Hmm.
So you can go onto YouTube and, you know, it's like that perineal thing I thought was funny. Okay, here's this wiping. It's really good for wiping down here. Oh, wait a minute, what? But, you know... Like I say, I'm all with you about the plutocratic elites. And I guess, is it johnstackmiller@hotmail.com?
Yes.
For your email?
Yes.
I'm preparing a statement basically explaining to people that it's one thing I gave thought to is instead of going on one knee for the national anthem, how about both knees? And like that song with Roger Daltrey, Don't Get Fooled Again. I get on my knees and pray we don't get fooled again. And that's we're not meaning any disrespect. We're on our knees praying for this country to live up to what you say you believe.
Yeah.
You believe in accountability, but only if it's pointed to the other side of this.
And
right?
Mark, that's what Ray Lewis did. Ray Lewis actually was part of the demonstration, but this guy, Ray Lewis, got on both knees and he was praying. He wasn't just protesting. He was actually praying.
And that's what I think people need to understand is Well, there's this, I won't mention who did this because I think you promote their service and I don't want to get into a urination conflagration, but everything I'm seeing from this particular website, you know, that sends out emails and such, everything they say is negative about what's going on. And it's like, time out. Aren't you people going to acknowledge any legitimate concern these people have? Are you just going to say everything negative? And that's one thing I want to, this Amil Amani... says all these negative, horrible things about Islam, and I'm like, excuse me, it was Muslims that brought us out of the Dark Ages during the Crusades when they gave us preserved knowledge. You're saying that these Muslims destroy knowledge, and I'm like, excuse me, if you can't say anything good about them, you have no credibility to people who know what a slander campaign looks like.
Yeah, right? What website are you in reference to, by the way, Mark?
Views with News, shall we say?
Oh, well, every once in a while, hold your horses here.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay, every once in a while, I'll pull a story, and I post most of the stories on the network, and I will pull the stories that I deem that's appropriate. In other words, they're not contentious, and we're on the bandwagon for anti-Muslim.
Yes.
Yeah.
The thing is, I want to be fair to them and say, look, where I disagree with you, I'm going to be civil. I'm going to be respectful. And I'm going to tell you, I'm telling them straight up, I am embarrassed and ashamed of people who call themselves Christian, who uncritically buy into everything negative they're hearing, and they don't think that, they don't seem to recognize, you heard the same things about the Shinto religion during World War II. I was working for this guy who's an octogenarian. He was alive during that era. And he heard all these negative, horrible things about Shinto, and they parallel what's being said about Islam today.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, if you don't know how this pattern works, and that's one of the things I'm going to address in some videos, and I'll be shooting you the link to it when I get these things together.
Okay.
Because people, you know, like I say, conservative means let's keep doing what we have been doing, and if you think you're going to get different results...
Yeah. Mark, what I said about this is who benefits by the evil Islamist and the Christians going at each other? Who is sitting in the back row of that theater laughing their butt off right now?
And profiting from both sides.
Bingo.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Mark, I appreciate your call.
Later.
Thank you. All right. John in Michigan. Hello, John.
Hello, John. I would like to bring up one false flag that wasn't brought up, Waco. Have you ever interviewed James McCanney?
Not yet.
Well, he's a good one. He explained the whole story behind that. He's a very sharp man, and he talked about it being the new Mena, Arkansas, and that Koresh was really keeping tabs on all the planes coming into the airport there, and that's what they were after, is all of those records. So that's one little story. And then also, you brought up Rumsfeld. Where is he now? And also, Kissinger was with Trump this week, from what I saw, a little snippet on the TV, and he's still out there. And I just was just wondering about, I lost my train of thought on this, but it's just interesting. Also, I heard of a gentleman who was talking about all of the diseases that are coming out of the hurricane in Houston, and that there's a lot of tuberculosis going around the Southwest from people coming through. Is that something you've heard of?
I haven't heard anything about it. John had to leave the room for a moment to take a quick call, but I hadn't heard anything about the tuberculosis from the hurricanes. As far as this gentleman...
No, I think that's in Africa, but it's one that there's nothing that can touch it. That's the one. It's a pneumatic pneumonia, or pneumatic plague.
That's new to me.
And anyways, I just wanted to throw some things out there.
Okay. Well...
to talk about. And also we have the shoot, you brought up the screeners at the airports, and we had the shoe bomber come into Detroit, and that was a false flag. There's so much out there. Who knows where this is going, but it's a total, this world's in real dire straits.
Well, and it's in dire straits, and the point I was making earlier, John, this is not going to quit. I said a long time ago they're going to throw everything at us but the kitchen sink, duck, here that comes. And this is just going to continue. We're going to have to keep jumping down the rabbit holes to try to maintain some kind of semblance of sanity to sift through all of this crap so people don't lose their ever-loving minds.
I think that the fact that Trump went after pedophiles in the beginning, that might have scared off Sessions, but I think that's the big issue that all of these people are so concerned about, because it goes up so far to the Bushes and Clintons and others, that it's so invasive, and that's I think the major concern that they have.
Well, and John, the major concern is how many people would the Hillary Clinton crime syndicate and her hubby Bill and even her daughter Chelsea now and whoever else is in on this. How much crime and corruption going back how far, totaling how many trillions of dollars, would this uncover? And how many people within the government, how many people within our intelligence agencies knew about stuff? This has the capability to bring down a government. But wait a minute. I want to keep the buildings. You know, we'll get rid of the Masonic reflecting pool and the big phallic symbol that sits at the other end of the Lincoln Memorial. We'll get rid of all that crap in due time. Buildings are not necessarily evil themselves. The people that are occupying these buildings are.
That's true, and the fact that there hasn't been much brought out. Scalise was trying to get that thing activated where they were going after the pedophiles. I think this Hollywood thing might expose some things, hopefully. But that, I feel, is where this... all this aggression towards the Trump, and for him not to clean house when he got in there like the Clintons did with their Justice Department just baffles me that none of that was done unless they're...
Well, and you know what, John? Donald Trump is not a neophyte. He's been moving around in the circles for many years. If he was serious about the job, that was job one when he got to Washington. I would have set up my own security team. I would have went in one of the presidential bunkers that are designed to withstand nuclear attack, and I would have orchestrated draining the swamp from an area that I could literally be protected.
Right.
And now he's sitting there in the Oval Office, and he's got every asshat that you can imagine, bankers and war profiteers and neocons all, that are there pumping and giving him advice.
And his family too.
Oh, let's not even talk about Ivanka and the son-in-law, because that would be the first son of a bugger that I would bounce, and she would have to follow him unless she wanted to divorce him, which I don't think is going to happen. John, I thank you for your call. I got to keep moving.
God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Mike in Colorado. Hello, Mike.
Hey, John. Hey, Michael. I would like to thank Vonage for making this call possible. They got it together, so that's good news.
Well, you know, there are slight defects. They did eliminate 75% of my bill, so every once in a while I think we have to put up with a little stuff.
75%? I would take it on the chin at least once a week for that. That's great.
Well, don't give them any ideas just in case they're listening.
Did you by chance get the chance to look into that Empower movement I sent you?
The Empower give me something more here.
I sent you a link to a video. It's InPowerMovement.com. I sent it for you and Al Whitney.
No. What was it about?
It's a Canadian and an American who have figured out that to go into commerce and rebut their initial claim of a smart meter, because that's basically the offer of the contract, and they put together a in-commerce legal framework where individual citizens can go back and say, no, thank you for that offer. I want it under these terms. And they've caused people from corporations, the heads of corporations in Canada and the U.S. to quit, including Michigan, because they don't want the liability and responsibility. It's really interesting. It's like if you took Al Whitney's work and you made a template on the Internet to where you could not countersue but counteroffer what they're trying to do, it's pretty impressive. And if it's really true, I think it's a good window into even the Federal Reserve.
All righty. Mike, appreciate him.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. By the way, Steve sent me an email. It said, be up and running next week. If you need a day off, just let me know. Ken broadcasts from this vacation home now. Caught up with his sleep. Out and about this past week looking for a home. We'll be in vacation home for about 3 weeks. Talk soon. Still playing with your spinner? Stopped off at a Verizon store for cell phone instruction. My representative had a finger fidget spinning on his desk. He admitted that his spinner was now a habit. He couldn't keep his hands off of it. Now, folks, Steve Elkins gave me one of these spinners. Yesterday, I threw the damn thing on the floor. What happens today? Michael picks it up, puts it right back in front of me. I pick it up off the desk, and I throw it in a trash can. I said, don't get in that trash can. I am throwing out my spinner. What were once vices are now habits. I don't need any more skull screwing. Thank you very much, Steve. Next, Morgan in Phoenix. Hello, Morgan.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to comment. Earlier, I guess in September, you posted the video of the policeman arresting the nurse in Utah.
Yes.
He's been fired.
Oh, has he?
Yes. And I sent a link. I guess you didn't see it.
Okay.
But, yes, he was fired and his supervisor was demoted. So,
Is that a way for them to limit their liability, Morgan? Do they think that they are going to put the whole thing to rest by firing that guy and demoting his supervisor?
I have no idea about that. I'm just commenting that I've seen the news that he was fired. His lawyer is recommending that he appeal it, but then,
you know,
as well.
All righty.
Is that the cop that arrested the nurse?
The nurse, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Roughed her up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because she was following policy that
the hospital protocols, and he didn't like that.
That even the police department even agreed to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, Morgan, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I was not aware of that.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
Now, what are they going to do about the rest of the corrupt cops working in this damn country?
Mm.
The people that murder people and they quit, they quit. They make deals. They quit one police department
and they go to work
for
another
one.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I did a story a couple of weeks ago.
Probably with more money.
I did a story a couple of weeks ago about the... stop it. Quit playing footsie with me.
I'm not.
This office is not big enough for both of us. It's kind of weird. At any rate. I know. When you hit your foot against something, you don't know what you're...
That's right.
Unless you have eyes in the bottom of your feet. Any rate. This is in Wisconsin. Somebody started going through the records. Half the damn cops up there had criminal records. Should never, ever, ever been in the police department. But... unless somebody's got the idea, Mike, that they might be predisposed if they're protected, then, yeah, you can operate criminally for us, and we'll cover you. You know, I will say this. This is a Friday. Black Lives Matter did have a point about the corrupt police. But that's about the only point that they made that made any sense. And that's the one point I wouldn't argue with. The police state that's been formed. But you notice something about this, Mike. In the BLM, they're not going to the real heart and the real root of the problem. They keep claiming police brutality, and you're picking on us disproportionately. And you really are racist, and you really hate black people because the amount of them that you're killing. They've killed more white people than they have black people. Okay? The problem remains that we have cops that are quick on the trigger. We have cops that think it's neat. And I some of the videos I've seen over the last couple of days, cops using tasers to literally torture people. One guy, they zapped him so many times, he pissed himself and crapped his own pants. They get a giddy ha ha out of this,
and they laugh about it.
And they laugh. They think it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Steve Elkins in God's waiting room.
Hey, thank that last caller for that update on the Utah nurse. My wife just asked me the other day, "Have you heard any more about that Utah nurse?" I said, "No, I haven't. Need to research that," and I didn't. And so I thank that caller for giving that little bit of information. It's nice to hear, but we agree that there's a lot of shakeup that needs to be done in these police departments. There's a lot of bad ones out there. There's a ton of bad ones,
and they do not have the courage. Why is this echoing in my ear, Mike? They do not have the courage, Steve, to do their own policing on bad cops.
Nope.
And
the problem is that it's a group. They protect one another, and when they protect the bad things that the other ones do, they get sucked right into it.
Yep.
So it's like a bad apple. You have a bad apple in the barrel, it'll spoil the whole barrel, and that's what happens.
Accessory to a crime.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you just as culpable
and as
criminally responsible. But yet, Steve...
Well, it's also a boys' club, too. You know, nobody wants to snitch on the other guys, and you know, you're labeled if you do. Even if you go to another department, they're going to know you're a snitch, and it's the firemen, the police are in the same boat. You know, I mean, you see bad things, you see bad cops, and it'd be nice if they you know, they would come forward, but they're worried about their careers, and they have to work with other cops, and being known as a snitch isn't going to go too far in your career, you know. So,
problem, reaction, solution. We have a problem, we're reacting to the problem, but there is no solution?
Yeah, Hegel's dialectic. Hey, by the way, I sent you another email on the percentages of the fires just a little bit ago, so if you see that.
Oh, by the way, the death toll has been up to what, 30 now?
31.
31.
I haven't contacted, actually I've tried Ron McDonald several times, and I don't know what's going on with him. He hasn't responded back, so I'll try one more time tonight to see, kind of get an update from him. He's my guy on the ground along with a couple others, what's going on, but... mainstream media, as I wrote you today, is kind of dropping the ball. They're hyping things up, and they're trying to make this thing. I mean, this is a devastating fire, but they sure are playing the numbers up to try to get more people to tune in for advertising dollars.
Or to have bigger bailouts from the Fed.
Yes. Yeah. That's true.
All right. Steve, I thank you.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Okay.
Got it.
Ken in Fort Worth. Hello, Ken.
You know, they said this Paddock guy kept in a hotel for 5 days, and it was 7 days or something, and then they couldn't find the records. I had a motel. You come in a motel, you sign a form how many days you're going to give. You had to pay federal tax, and I had to turn that tax into the federal government. Now, how much taxes are they beating the federal government out? Something ain't adding up. It's not like a conspiracy between the bookkeeper and the desk clerk.
Hmm. Well, I got one for you. I got one for you, Ken. 200 shots fired at a security guard in the hallway of the Mandalay Bay outside of Paddock's door. 200 rounds went through that door. One just happened to hit the security guy. But Mike and I are reviewing all the pictures and everything we could lay our hands on. There isn't bullet holes anywhere in that hallway. The door that was supposedly fired through 200 rounds to hit that security guard, the door's not there anymore. Kind of like sounds like Waco that would have proved that David Koresh
didn't fire the first shots at the BATF. It was actually the BATF that was putting the rounds first off through that door. He went to answer the damn door and said, what do you guys want? When he went to close it, that's when they started firing. That door up and disappeared. It just seems that they just keep dusting off the old routines and just representing them. I thank you for your call. Betty in North Carolina. Hello, Betty. Hello, Betty.
This is Pat in Arkansas. Do you have the right line?
I know who you are now, and you know who you are, but my board op certainly did. How the hell did you get Betty in North Carolina? She sounded like Betty in North Carolina. Okay.
Well, this is Pat in Arkansas.
Okay, Pat.
I wanted to keep you for a few seconds here. I can't speak very well. About that nurse in Utah.
Yes.
I read this somewhere and forgot where I read it, but one of the police officers in that same department said she was bound to be arrested because of the quota that they have to make each day. And I guess that guy was behind on his quota.
Well, I think, Pat, more to the issue here would be not making a quota. What this guy wanted was he wanted that nurse to violate the policy, which she stated she had to and which the police department agreed to. And what we weren't told at the time and what nobody was aware of was who the burn patient was in that hospital. He was actually a truck driver and a part-time police officer. That was information we did not know at the time, and they might have known that. And they wanted the information, and they wanted it fast. And this nurse wasn't getting up off of it. I don't think that it had that much to do, possibly, but that reason would be so far down the line, I don't think it really played into the decision. Now, it's been proven that cops have quotas, but they'll tell you, no, we don't have any quotas. The Keystone corporate coffer cops are out there revenuing every day on our streets. But no, we don't have any quotas. And that's a damn lie.
Mm-hmm.
That is a damn lie. What are you doing in there, Mikey? Looking at stuff. Well, I don't know. Point, counterpoint here. I think the 13 tattoo was just the bags underneath his.
I don't buy that. I'm going to have to talk to Fetzer and see if he had a magnifying glass or what, because it still looks like a 13 to me.
Oh, that's right. He's a friend of yours.
Yeah, he's been a friend of mine. He's the guy that did my inaugural show on the KFNX when I was very nervous. First show I ever did on the air, other than being a guest.
You know, him and Mike Rivero have a little tiff going right now. You do know that.
No, I don't know that.
Oh, well, now you know.
No, what's the tiff? Should I call Jim and ask him?
You'll get an earful for a half hour, I guarantee you. Uh-huh. It was just Rivero was not going along with something that Fetzer said, and he didn't single him out and call him a liar, bald-faced, whatever, and it was just this, he took it as an inference that he's a goofball.
Who, Jim?
Yeah.
He is. But I love him.
Betty in North Carolina called in. This time, hello, Betty. Are you the real Betty?
Yeah, I'm the real one. Sorry
okay.
about that.
No, that's okay.
I'm wondering, when you talk about having a federal government float currency, I'm wondering if the states couldn't float some currency just to pay for their own state, that people in the state pay for their own taxes. And then I wondered about bringing the troops home and the prisons. You know, if you cut their money off, maybe could we get rid of those private prison running? Things like that. I'm looking in terms of getting rid of the Federal Reserve, paying them no interest.
I hear you there. Betty, we are out of time. I'm glad you could squeeze in here on this Friday program.
Bye.
Michael, I will see you down the road here.
Yep.
Whenever you get settled in Arizona and you're coming back on the air in what form, fashion, time slot, I don't know. It's not me asking, it's the people asking. They're making the demands.
I'll call you.
I'll call you. Folks, please make a donation to this network today. Use republicbroadcasting.org. The donate button at the top takes you to the PayPal page. You know all this stuff by heart? You should. I've said it often enough. Or call the office right now. The phones are working. 800-724-2719, extension 3, talk to Mikey. We'll talk to you Monday.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.